Dr. Chi, you were asked some questions about doing quality control checks on dyes. Dr. Zarnik had testified there are relatively short tests that can be done to QC or test dyes to make sure they are what they say they are on the label. You were asked, couldn't Zarnik have performed those tests if he wanted to? Do you recall that?
I think so.
Isn't it true that the dyes that were used in decoding experiments were dyes used by molecular biologists under your supervision?
Yes, that's true.
Chemists in the summer of 2000 were not using dyes, were they?
Actually, I don't know. They may have been.
But the people who were actually using the dyes that should or should not have been quality control checked, they were molecular biologists.
The particular experiment we're talking about, where there was a mix-up in the dye lot, those experiments, those dyes were being handled by molecular biologists.
You use this little demonstration here with these bottles.
Yep.
Can we call this not quite red set? And can we call this green, red, and blue? Is that what it's intended to show?
Sure, if you like call them green, red, and blue.
These are the chemicals used in the 768 decode experiment. Green, red, and blue, is that right?
You're now moving to a scientific footing where these things have fluorescent emissions and particular wavelength. I don't recall the exact wavelengths. I really don't think it matters whether those wavelengths were red, green, and blue, and I'm not prepared right now to say whether they in fact were red, green, and blue.
They may have and may not.
That's right.
Let's say for purposes of discussion.
For purposes of discussion, I'm happy to assume that.
First of all, the dyes are not visible to the naked eye when they are used. Isn't that correct? The colors of the dyes?
The colors of the dyes themselves, if you make a concentrated solution of the dyes, they are visible. But in this sort of microscopic experiment, no, they are not.
And when you are doing the decoding to check what color shows up, it's not done with the naked eye. It's done by a computer system.
That's right. It's done with an optical detection system. Like, you take a picture with a digital camera. We have a scientific version of that that takes a picture of this through a microscope, and then the processing of the data is done by the computer.
Is it accurate, then, to know what colors show up, that you use filters to only use certain wavelengths?
That's right.
If you were using green, red, and blue dyes, you would use a filter in separate steps. A filter to let through only green wavelength color, and then a filter to let in only red wavelength color, and a filter to let in only blue wavelength color, right?
So there's different ways of doing this. The filter is one way. That was the method we were using. But it doesn't have to let in only... Sometimes filters are used that are letting in about a certain wavelength or below a certain wavelength.
What about the filters used in 768?
Actually, at this stage, I don't recall what exact filters we were using, but they were generally designed to allow discrimination of those different colors.
Allow discrimination of red... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm pointing to green and red. Green, red, and blue, correct?
Yes. For purposes of discussion, yes.
What colors do you want to call this?
I don't know. Sort of a murky olive green, I guess?
There was not a filter used in the 768 experiment to let through murky olive green?
Now we're...
Yes or no? Was there a filter used to look through this murky green color?
Objection. Foundation, Your Honor.
I think he ought to be able to answer the question. Go ahead and answer.
Yeah, there's no specific filter for that. But actually, I should say we need to be careful here. We're getting into fluorescence, which is a somewhat different phenomenon. The filters were adequate for analyzing that.
There wasn't a specific filter.
There wasn't a specific filter for that.
You told the jury this experiment was a huge success, the 768 decode experiment.
Yes.
You are not backing off on your testimony, are you, Dr. Chi? When you found out about the mislabeling of the dye, you concluded that the experiment should be redone.
No, I had a whole list of concerns about that experiment.
I just want to be sure.
When you talk about success, the question is whether you're talking about the feasibility of decoding at that complexity or whether or not the process could be improved. I have all kinds of concerns, and the mixed-up dyes was the least of them, about improving the experiment.
You are not backing off from your testimony, that as a result of learning about the mislabeling of the dye, you concluded you had to redo the experiment.
I'll object to the form of the question.
Sustain.
Take a quick look at Exhibit 269, please. This is the email you sent to the roadshow team, July 13th, 2000?
Yes.
You say here, based on the results to date, I think that once we combine two sets of 768 sequences, we'll have 1,000 useful addresses.
Yes.
Does that intend to mean that once you combine the results from the first 768 decode experiment done the first half of 2000 with the results from the summer of 2000, then you'd have 1,000 useful addresses?
I don't recall exactly which experiments were, but we have two different sets of sequences that could be used together, yes.
There had been two 768 decode experiments run by this point.
Yeah, right. At least two.
And when you were saying once you combine the results, you'd have 1,000 useful addresses, you were incorporating both the first and second.
Objection to the extent he's mischaracterizing prior testimony. So I object to the foundation.
Overruled. You may answer.
Yeah. I might not be just inferring things. Let me read this email. So I don't have a specific recollection, as I've testified, to which 768 experiment was done when, and so I don't think I can answer your question because I can't tell from that first sentence I've written there, based on the results to date. I think that once we combine two sets of 768 sequences, we'll have 1,000 useful addresses, approximately, whether I'm talking about... Oh, okay. Sorry, the next bit, it says that. We have now tested two different sets. Okay, so I can't say that.
These two sets you tested were basically the first 768 and the second 768?
Most probably.
You were happy with the results of both those experiments?
Yes.
You mentioned Golly Steinberg's work. Was the work that she did in the area of... was it binary?
So we seem to keep running into this issue of what you define as binary, because I'm familiar with all kinds of nuances with this decoding. If you define it very narrowly, no. If you define it a bit broader, yes.
And you agree that nobody is working on binary decoding today, right?
So actually, it's now a company of about 200 people, and I don't monitor closely all the work that's going on, particularly in areas of chemistry. But to my knowledge, people aren't working on it today.
To your knowledge, there are no plans to resume work in this area, correct?
To my knowledge, there's no immediate plans to resume work in this area.
Miss Espinoza asked you about some events that took place in the summer of 98 at Cardiff and your impression of Dr. Zarnik's work ethic in the summer of 1998.
Yes.
Dr. Stupnagel testified about notes that he made after that, in early 1999, and he read notes in his writing that said, "Confident that I've hired good R&D managers." My question is, did you have any discussions with John Stupnagel in the first part of 1999, after you moved from Cardiff, where he told you he was confident that he's hired good R&D managers?
I don't recall. Sorry.
Now, when you were testifying about the April 6, 1999 breakdown meeting, you testified that you told Dr. Zarnik essentially, "Go away, get better, and then let's talk about the future."
Somewhat more sympathetically than that, but yes.
Let's talk about the second part of that. Then let's talk about the future. Did you ever have that discussion with Dr. Zarnik when you told him, "Go away, get better, then we'll talk about the future"?
I'm not sure that I did. I don't recall having that discussion. But I wouldn't have expected to. I wasn't Dr. Zarnik's... So I wouldn't necessarily have been expected to be involved in further discussions on that.
Did you have any information as to whether Dr. Stupnagel ever had such a discussion?
No, I don't recollect hearing about that.
Following up on the issue of how many shares you own, how many you bought, Miss Espinoza asked you some questions about what you bought. How many shares did you receive by means of grant at the inception of your employment?
I think it was in the range of a little over 500,000 shares in total over the whole period of time I've been at Illumina, very roughly.
Those are shares, approximately. Those were the shares you were granted and didn't have to buy.
That's right.
And do I understand you correctly that even after you became a research fellow, although the rate of vesting changed, the company never attempted to buy back shares that had initially been granted?
Yeah, a company never attempted to, but yeah.
Okay. Who was that Nobel Prize winner who gave you some advice on setting goals?
Cesar Milstein gave me advice on, you could say, setting goals, yes.
He told you to set goals, push people to the very limit of their abilities?
He was giving me that as personal advice. Push myself. But I think it was good advice.
Did he advise you that people who don't meet goals should be fired?
No, he didn't. That was not at all. It was very friendly dinner conversation we were having. We were talking about... This is an academic setting. We weren't talking about HR matters.
Are you familiar with, in terms of setting goals, an acronym, SMART, Setting Smart Goals?
I've heard that term used.
You've heard that used by John Stulpnagel?
I think I may well have heard it used by Dr. Stulpnagel.
Do you know what the R means? S-M-A-R-T.
No.
Nothing further.
Anything further?
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take our noon recess at this time. We'll be in recess until 1 o'clock. Please remember the admonition not to form or express any opinions about the case. We'll be in recess until 1 p.m. 1 p.m.